So yeah, I'm going to talk about a black fly suppression program that is now going on for the town of Newport in East Tennessee. And the project is basically subtitled Trials and Tribulations of Trying to Get Such a Program Going in a State That Is Not Necessarily on the Forefront of This Sort of Thinking, environmental thinking and using real science to make decisions. So basically I'll give some background information for the talk. I'll talk about what we did to establish the need for black fly control in this area and the relative dates of when this occurred, how funding came about, the various fights we've had to get permitting from Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, we did some non-target impacts as a way to show to them that BTI was in fact it reacted the same way in waters of Tennessee as it did in Pennsylvania and all the other places around the world that it's been used. It's safe. And we had to get re-permitting again, and then I'll talk about finally what we'll do, what we did this year and next for area-wide suppression finally. So the greater Newport area, just to kind of give you an idea, Newport is located at the confluence of two rivers, the Pigeon and French Broad, both of which are large sources of Smilium jenningsi, which is a pest up and down the East Coast for the most part. Another focal area is Gatlinburg, with Dollywood and all the other things there. Touristy is located at two forks of the Pigeon River, and both of those are smaller producers, but still, there is a black fly problem there as well. The Pigeon River historically has been heavily polluted by paper plant up in Canton, North Carolina, upstream. And there's been a lot of fight there between the two states. I think Tennessee actually sued North Carolina to force them to clean up the river, and they did. And it's on the mend, and there's actually restocking programs for fish, snails, and several other things, not so much with insects, but mostly vertebrates. The Pigeon River is treatable manually, just by wading and putting the BTI in, but the French Broad is three times the volume, larger, inaccessible, a lot of private property, and it's going to take some helicopter treatment to get the job done there. This is just a picture to show what the Pigeon River looks like, and also to show that it's an extensive series of pools and riffles, which is not amenable to BTI treatment. We need constant flow and preferably hard substrates. A solid granite slab would be nice to get good carry. So it's going to take many different insertion application sites to control the black fly population here. But at least it is feasible without using aerial application. The French Broad, on the other hand, and this is a picture taken from North Carolina-Tennessee line, is considerably larger, as I said. Flow is also quite three or four times the volume. I need to mention that there's a reservoir on the Pigeon River and with a power company release that keeps the Pigeon River going basically the constant rate throughout the year, except during days where they do releases for river rafters. But it does create a constant flow. The French Broad does not have that aspect to it, so it's more it experiences more pooling during the summer drought, and black fly populations vary according to that. So establishing need, I met with a lot of recreational-oriented businesses there, communities. There's two golf courses in the area, one of which was routinely giving full refunds, several a week during anywhere from May to October, losing a lot of business, they had complaint cards that would fill a small U-Haul trailer, just bad news, basically losing a lot of business. Area campgrounds, I think Cock County, this is the county where these towns are, has the highest, even higher concentration or number of campsites than even the Gatlinburg and Smoky Mountain area. A few letters from school superintendents saying that students were being attacked by black flies during recess. And also some letters from livestock owners, particularly small outfits with horses and cattle. So I met with those people, and they talked to their local state senator, Senator Sutherland. With the help of Elmer Gray, University of Georgia, I created a white paper proposal, gave it to Senator Sutherland. He garnered support from the House Democrat of that area, and through their efforts, passed legislation in July of 2006 to start this as basically a two-year program. But the problem wasn't getting the money, it was getting the permitting. Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency, Tennessee Wildlife Federation, a private entity, Trout Unlimited, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, all the environmental-oriented agencies didn't like the idea much. Half of it was because of the recovery effort on the pigeon. They thought this would undermine it. And there were even some anecdotal, non-referee type, the Chattanoogan, I think is the name of the newspaper online thing, where some guy wrote that from Tennessee Wildlife Federation that all fish are directly dependent on black fly larvae for food. And apparently he didn't realize that there were fish out there that don't eat anything other than algae and things, but sounds good and garners support for people on that side. In the end, the people ultimately responsible, the department, Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, caved in to the pressure from their people in their envelope, basically TWRA. They're both in the same group. They're both funded through the same Tennessee Department of Ag, I think it is. So they basically forced us in 2007, our first year, to be a two riffle test, basically 5 miles of the Pigeon River treated instead of the original 20 miles that is suitable habitat and is causing the black fly problem. So in 2007, we did non-target effect. I'm not going to go through all the data here. I just showed it. But basically, we found no impact on fish between the control site and treated site, two different times of year, no impact, and did the same for those same two sites for aquatic invertebrates. And really, the only ones that were affected were the ones you expect, black flies, obviously. And they did find some, but it wasn't statistical decline in Rio tanitarsis, which is another filter feeding midge that in some studies does decline, but overall they're rarely collected because their little silk cases are pretty firmly attached to rocks. They tried to use it as something to try to hold it up, but I think even they realized that wasn't that big of a deal. So basically through this year of non-target testing, sort of reinventing the wheel, showing that BTI reacts the same in the Pigeon River as it does in the Holston River, Susquehanna, and all the other places that it's used, they basically realized that BTI does what the label said it does, and all the supporting science. So this is Amanda Jacobson and myself. We're here at we had these nice signs made up. And this is one of our application sites on the Pigeon River. As part of the part of the white paper was to estimate impact, because the wildlife folks didn't think there was much of one. And they said, well, we fish, and we know people who fish the river all the time, and they're not really that affected. But generally in these situations, the flies leave the natal habitat, go off into more open areas like golf courses and campgrounds, and that's where they are the pest. So it's not totally surprising that black fly females emerging that aren't even fully sclerotized yet aren't biting people or interested in biting people. So that's not a big surprise. So we basically did a phone survey of 1,200 households of the 15,000 within a 25-mile area of basically a central focus area on the Pigeon. We found that 69% of these people noticed black flies at home or work, and about a third of them were quite concerned, as rated by a 4 or 5 on a scale of 5, of 0 to 5, about the black fly population. And they were quite supportive of a program that was legislated to actually reduce it. And our estimate, and the numbers are still being crunched now, but basically the average was $57 per household per year times the number of households in the area is considerably over $750,000 annually. And so what does that mean? I guess for the future of the program, it means that we may have to ask the people to put their money where their mouth is, because the state budget is hurting, like as it is in many other places. And the program to continue may have to be carried by these same people. So we're going to try to develop a way to do either a fundraiser, or it was even it came up that we could actually tack on something onto the energy bill because of that Waterville reservoir with the power company there. That'd be a nice tie-in to see if they would actually take the funding for us and then support the program that way. But that's all still up in the air. So after we did the year-long test, the two riffle test that they wanted us to do, and that came out in our favor, things got delayed because the final report that was supposed to go to Tennessee Department of Ag, Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, placed UT Fisheries and their own personnel in charge of completing the permit, or the annual report that was, that the next permit was contingent on being, you know, if the data swung in our favor, they would support it. If not, they would probably deny. And it wasn't submitted until late, and we didn't get the permit application until May. So by May, the black flies are already on the wing causing problems. And instead of giving us, you know, saying, all right, everything worked out fine, here's your permit, they required us to go through the whole lengthy process of a month, a public notice period, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, we didn't get our permit in place until July 10th or 11th, I think it was, of this year. And by then, the public is inundated with pest black flies, and yet it's already on the books that we're doing a suppression program. So without some well-timed press releases, you know, people were thinking, you know, this is a tremendous failure. You get a black fly suppression program and they're horrible. So we had to deal with that. Another problem was populations have built up to a point. By then, I think it's better to hit them early and keep numbers down. So we didn't get the first generations off, didn't get those treated. And we basically had the evaluation of area wide suppression plan implemented wasn't possible as a result of the delays. So we were still trying to figure out how best to devise this program at the end of the year. And, you know, if we would have been able to start in April, May like we wanted to, maybe by July we would have all the application sites needed planned and done and be able to evaluate adult numbers and find out how well we're suppressing. That's going to have to happen in 2009 now, so we've been delayed. So the action plan for next year is to continue full treatment of the Pigeon River all the way from the Waterville Reservoir to the town of Newport. We're going to have to do some helicopter treatment of the French Broad because of its large size and inaccessibility. And we're going to have to initiate in-stream treatment, so that's actually wading in and doing it at the Little Pigeon River to try to alleviate some of the pressure on the Gatlinburg area, golf course there, and other outdoor entertainment enterprises. And somewhere in mid-June, assess how the suppression program is going and adapt the program to meet needs. And then at the end of December 31st or whatever, the end of this of next year, we've got to try to get another permit going. So, and that's going to probably be another battle, but I hope not. So, in closing, I guess I should say that I'll let you be the judge of how difficult you think our time was to get permitting in place for this program. But yeah, we'll see. I've heard some other things, and our next speaker had some involvement with this same crowd. So I'd like to thank, in closing, Senator Sutherland, State Senator, for getting this thing off the ground, the General Assembly for seeing this as a project worth funding, golf course professional, Dave Rebuck from the Pennsylvania Black Fly Suppression Group, was very helpful in giving me ideas and literature and stuff like that, as was Elmer Gray, University of Georgia, and Christopher Clark, ag economist at University of Tennessee, was instrumental in getting the instrument, the phone survey, in place, as well as there's a lab through our Wildlife and Fisheries Department called the Human Dimensions Lab that actually did all the phone calls and stuff, and I'm appreciative of that as well. And that's all I've got for you. So I'll take any questions. Yes.
Yeah, it's dark in here, and I can't see exactly who you work for, but I think it's the University.
University of Tennessee.
And so how did you get responsibility for a project like this?
Well, what happened was I sent the white page in and white paper, whatever, and got it funded, and the state legislature just passed a block of money to the Ag Experiment Station, and it was there's a lot of liaisons between UTIA, the University of Tennessee Institute of Ag, and the legislature, and somewhere through that process, they found out that I was the one who spearheaded the drive to try to get something going, and that's how I became, I guess, leader of the project. Yeah. Actually, there was a previous program on the Holston River up in northeastern Tennessee near Johnson City, the Tri-Cities area, and that was BTI against another black fly, Smil invitatum, and I guess since that stream was even more polluted than the pigeon, they didn't really care so much. So that one got stamp of approval eventually, but apparently there was at least one threatening letter that I just found out about today sent to some of the people involved in that. So there's been a history of resistance to BTI use in spite of its pretty much widely known benign activity against things other than black flies and mosquitoes. Any other questions? No?